Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hanks for the Memories, your finest Tom Hanks themed podcast in the entire internet, I think. I haven't done a ton of research, but this is Consequence of Sound's Adam Kivel with you once again on the show where we dig into the magic that is Tom Hanks. Usually we talk about a different film or TV show. Last week I know I promised the second part of the epic Family Ties two-parter with the FBI chasing down Tom Hanks. Will they catch him? You're gonna have to wait until next week. This is like the ultimate extended cliffhanger. I thought we'd be bringing you that week, but we found something even more exciting to talk about. International Tom Hanks Day.
Yep.
That's a thing. I was so excited to find out about it. Sometimes I think, am I the only weirdo? Is anybody even out there listening to this show, let alone doing, you know, their own thing? But I found some people that are perhaps even more intense about this than I am.
Yeah, we've always wondered the same thing too. Like, are people listening? But
turns out they are.
Great.
And we do always love it when someone has heard of us, so this is even better. So
yeah, so let me introduce you guys. I've got Kevin Turk.
Yep.
And Kellen Manley from International Tom Hanks Day.
No, I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming down, guys.
Yeah,
Kellen came in all the way from Michigan for this.
We did, you know, we've been coming out, we've been doing it in Chicago for about 7-8 years strong now,
yeah.
So we were rooted in Kalamazoo in the beginning, and we started at Western Michigan University, and we've kind of since gone, trying to go bigger and better each year, and it's kind of what's landed us in Chicago for the last few years.
So can you tell me about what the first International Tom Hanks Day was?
Yeah, it was six people, five of us lived in the house together. One person came over because we called him and said, hey, you should probably be part of this. But yeah, one of our roommates, Phil Crawl, like, looks at us and we're sitting around and he goes, you know what we should do all day is watch Tom Hanks movies and, you know, drink.
And I think
we got nothing but time. Like, let's do that. My favorite part was, this is like, I just was reflecting on this, and it was before the days of streaming and all that kind of stuff, so I still don't know if he just knew we all had a bunch of Tom Hanks movies, or if he was like, we should do it because it's Tom Hanks. I don't know.
It's a misty origin.
It's a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
A little fuzzy in the beginning.
And I wouldn't put anything past Phil, like, in terms of like what he actually thought about. So we did that, and we were hanging out. The next thing we knew, like, one of our other roommates, Will, said, do you know it's April 1st today? It's April Fool's. And I think that kind of, like, rooted that memory of, oh, you know, 11 and a half months from now, when we're, when April 1st is coming upon us, we're like, oh, let's have another Tom Hanks Day.
Yeah, it kind of implanted in your brain. And I think one of the funniest parts about the first year was, I think, as soon as he said, you know, it's like Tom Hanks Day or something, we all ran with it. So we're calling our parents and our siblings, like, do you know it's Tom Hanks? And like really trying to make this myth become a reality. But that was the genius of the first year, is we kind of went away from it not thinking like we had created something or anything was going to come from it. We just thought that was a really fun day and we had the best April Fool's joke imaginable.
Yep.
And it was, I think, the next year,
yeah,
when things really started to
The next year, we basically said, you know, we figured out, like, you know, April was coming up. And we were like, oh, wait, remember Tom Hanks Day? We got to do that again. And a bunch, like, we decided, oh, let's print T-shirts. And we just started asking our friends ahead of time. We were poor college kids, so we couldn't afford to buy everybody shirts. So
money in hand before.
Yeah. I think there was a few people that probably dropped off because they didn't get us the money. But we basically created just a clip art T-shirt. But on the back of the T-shirt, we did, you would pick a movie, and then we would make you Tom Hanks's character in that movie.
Wow.
So the back would say something.
So I was Josh 84, I believe.
Yeah.
I was the character from Big.
Yep.
And it kind of went down the line from there. We had a Forrest. We had
Woody. Everybody wanted Woody because in
yeah.
college, like, that's just what you want. Well, that came out really bad.
Do you remember the film lineup for the first one? Was it, you know, deep cuts? Were you going off the top? What was going on?
I can tell you, I know that Forrest Gump was prevalent. I know that I think we watched Big. Beyond that, I think Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
Turner
and Hooch was definitely in there too.
There were four or five, I know. It was a day. We kind of set aside the whole day once we started rolling. But yeah, I know Big, Forrest Gump, and Saving Private Ryan are the ones that I can remember. I know, yeah, I think Turner and Hooch definitely was.
Yeah. The rest is a little fuzzy.
So we've tried now over the years to incorporate different ones from time to time. Some of the more unknown Tom Hanks gems, your Mazes and Monsters, your Man with the One Red Shoe, as we were talking about before we started.
Yeah.
But
and it's fun. We've tried to, but every year we theme a shirt based around one of his movies. We've definitely had some repetitions just because, you know, people get really excited. Like, so the shirt I'm actually wearing today, it's got Tom's shoes from Forrest Gump on it, and then it says, you know, 13th annual International Tom Hanks Day. And I'm sure we did a Forrest Gump. Yeah, we did a Forrest Gump where he was on a bench and that kind of thing.
Not too many people clambering for the Dragnet t-shirt.
No,
exactly. I'll still push for that one. Yeah. Maybe a few more years down the road once we've covered other more prolific pieces.
Maybe
but
on the 23rd.
So that was it, and then it just each year more and more people got excited about it, and at the time it was just a college kegger, so it was a Saturday afternoon. We always did it in the afternoon, and so people just kept coming out, and we were just like, okay, I guess we got something here. People like this.
I think it was the third year where I think we made 50 shirts. I think the second year was the first year we did shirts, and we made 20, and it was very specific. You're paying for the shirt on the front end, and I think the third year we're like, I think we could just make a generic shirt in mass print. So I think we made 50, and we were shocked. I think we started at about 11:30, noon, and by 1 or 2, all the shirts were gone, and people were coming up, where can I get a shirt?
Yeah.
And so I think that's when Turk really did a great job of saying, okay, I think we have something more here than just this kegger, just this party. I think people are really getting into it from all sorts of different angles.
And that year three, I'm ashamed to admit, I helped create the design, and I'm not a designer, and I'm a terrible speller, and there are three, maybe four, misprinted movies on the back of that shirt. And I'm like, okay, that's it. My job there is done. Somebody else is going to have to do this from now on.
So we got a proofreader now. Very legitimate.
Moving up in the world. So at what point did this become linked with Tom Hanks? Because I guess spoiler alert for what happened.
Yep.
I hate saying that, but I did. Is that you guys have now met Tom Hanks and really turned this into a charitable fundraiser type event.
Yeah, that was year four.
That early on, wow.
Wow,
it was one of the last years in Kalamazoo.
Yep.
And I'm going to let Kevin take it away.
And I, over those 3 years, we had become known for people that do this Tom Hanks Day thing. And so everybody loves to drop their little Tom Hanks knowledge on you when you meet them. And somebody told me that, Tom's brother had this job at this place, and I was like, again, I had just way too much time on my hands because I was not studying, obviously. And so I did some digging and found the name, found the profession, looked legit, sent an email off. And then I don't know how the email was received because I don't, but I got an email back that just had the subject line, Tom Hanks's office. And then it said, Tom knows what you're doing. He'd love to send you some stuff. And I was just floored. I was like, come on. My skepticism is on really high alert. I'm like pissed to think about one of my friends doing this to me.
Yeah, especially like, something that started on April Fool's.
Right. Exactly.
You never know.
I'm like, you guys, this isn't funny. I think I even put this isn't funny in there in the email back. But sent it back and said, hey, give me a call. Would love to talk to you. And, from that window time of hitting send to when I was going to get a phone call. There was a lot of research I started doing. I was like, oh, this Playtone.com? Oh, that's his company. And then, as I'm, running through the rest of the things, my phone starts ringing, and it's a California phone number. I'm like, oh, no, this is real. this is actually real. So the long story short, he's like, okay, we're going to send you some stuff. And I kept it a secret. I was in Chicago at the time, traveled back to Kalamazoo to see everybody for the party.
And we had been all working pretty close at this point. And so we were all in the dark. I mean, it wasn't just like our friends had no idea what was coming. Even us who had been helping him put it together and run it the first few years, had no idea. So
I took the Amtrak in from Chicago, and I had just boxes of stuff, and I'm trying to carry it all around, and everybody, they're like, why do you have so much stuff with you? I'm like, just wait until we all get together and we'll talk. And so, so at that point, basically, it was the idea that, you know, okay, here's this guy who's nice enough to just send us stuff. He had no stipulation to it. Didn't really, he was just like, I think it's funny. So my response back was like, in the past, it was a free kegger for us on a Saturday. So I was like, look, I bet we can raise some money. I bet we can generate some charity out of this and donate it. And I was like, who should we donate to? His assistant replied back and basically said, look, if you want to make a donation, Tom is the U.S. ambassador for this organization called Lifeline Energy. So make a donation to that. And I mean, surprisingly, I think we made like $1,000 donation for some kids in a backyard. Yeah. And I think at that point, like, he was like, okay, we'll do this every year. You're going to, like, have some fun with it, and you're making some money. And so that trust was built over a few years of donating. And
yeah, I think Turk undersells it, but I think the main, like, he could have kept everything, or he could have been like, oh, you know, the 10 of us have been doing this. Let's all take something. And that could have been it. But that would have probably been the end of our relationship with him. So I think the big turn for us was Turk saying, you know, we have this great stuff, but like, what if we gave it an opportunity for other people to walk away from it with this? And I think with that, and then with fully giving 100% of everything, not just from the raffle, but from the keg, I mean, from everything that we had written, I mean, we gave it all, right? And I think that was the, okay, these guys are legit, and it's not, you know, I'm not sending a care package to these guys that they're just kind of shrouding away in their own basement. Yeah. They're getting the stuff out there in the world. They're raising the awareness. Yeah. So,
I mean, I tried to keep as much stuff as I could for myself. But at some point, my wife was like, get rid of all this stuff. Sure. Like, you email with them. You can ask for stuff if you really, really want it at some point. You don't have to just, like, keep hoarding this crap.
You could just print the emails out and frame them.
That's good for me. Yep.
Yeah.
One of the funniest, like, the first year, I think he sent a letter. So he's a typewriter enthusiast.
Yes.
So he sent a letter that, you know, he typed from his typewriter, and it says, "Dear Kevin Turk and the Assembled, you've all either lost your minds, your jobs, or both." he's always quick. So, again, going back to having listened to almost all of the Hanks for the Memory podcast now, you guys reference, like, okay, some of these movies aren't great, some of them are all good, and he goes, you're celebrating a bunch of movies, some good, some bad. Like, he was willing to admit it himself.
Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
I mean, in our last episode, my guest, Matt Mellis, from Consequence of Sound, said that he saw him at a baseball game and he was telling knock knock jokes to kids. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard. Matt was lying.
But that
sounds exactly right. So I'm glad to know that sense of humor that I assumed that he had and was totally okay with being lied to about is also accurate. That's great to know.
Yeah. And it's been entertaining to see this guy who's been voted, you know, like, nicest man in Hollywood truly live up to that.
Yeah.
Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and I have to interject because I found the letter and I think it's worth a full read. Dear Kevin Turk, dated April 1st, 2007. Dear Kevin Turk and the Assembled, you people have all either lost your minds or your jobs. Both? Then again, you may have just discovered the divine path to world peace. Just a short walk through, say, Turner and Hooch and Castaway. I hope you have a good April Fool's Day, though fools ye never be when your eyes are set upon a couple of pretty good movies. And the other ones. All good things, Tom Hanks. So,
well written.
Fantastic, yeah.
Well written. Yeah. That's that, you know, he's a literary man.
Speaking of which, well written, I was sent a link to an article about his Twitter basically functioning as a lost and found for clothing.
Yep.
He is one of the most fascinating Twitter follows because he's so sincere with everything. I mean... just never stop signing his name at the end of it too, which is such a great dad move.
Yeah, right. Hanks. Yeah. My dad still does that to me. He's like, messages. Joe Turk. Yeah. I'm like, I know who you are, Dad.
So I would really love for you guys to go into talking about Lifeline Energy. It's an amazing charity. I want to get it as much publicity and talk as possible.
Yeah. It is a fantastic organization. As you were looking, I brought in one of the radios that they really raise their money to donate. So basically they're called Life Players, but you can go to lifelineenergy.org to get a look at one of them. But they're these rather robust technology for the cost that they get them for, and they're crank powered and solar powered. They donate them and move them to a lot of families in Africa. So One of the very first years we started working with them, they had a satellite view of basically the Earth, and you could see, you know, part of the United States, all of Africa, and then, you know, China and some of the other countries, and everything was lit up with lights, except for Africa is black. It's just like there's no power, there's no infrastructure there. So they started creating these things to, one, have that universal power so that solar power was always there, or crank radio when you really needed it. And you could start to listen to information. They were connecting these neighbors that were miles and miles apart through dangerous terrain. Like, you can't just walk into town and not go through some terrible neighborhood. And so these radios allowed them to connect with some of the current events that were happening in the world. So this year we're actually really excited because Lusaka in Zambia, they have their economic infrastructure right now is really struggling. Mm-hmm. So we're raising enough money to send 300 radios to the schools.
Enough for 300 radios.
And so then the schools will basically, all these families, because of the economy, are moving into the cities, and they're overcrowded classes. The CEO of Lifeline Energy sent me a video where she was in this classroom, hundreds of kids. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall kids, and there's one teacher there. But they played the radio. They played this thing called Tonga Market, which is just these educational lessons. And it's all geared towards young kids. So they're jumping up and down. They're singing. They're dancing. They're, like, learning the words as they go along. And it was awesome because then at the end of the day, they're all singing and dancing and, like, walking out and, you know, going out into the world and telling these stories. It was just, it's really, really cool stuff.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, so we've been thrilled to be part of working with them.
They're great. And I think, you know, the solar and the crank aspect is really what we try to sell, because the other two options, as Turk said, you know, there isn't a lot of electricity or wired power. So other options really boil down to batteries and or candlelight. And batteries are ridiculously expensive. It's a totally different market. I mean, where we are fortunate to buy a 8-pack of AA's for a few bucks, it is just not the same economy. And the other hazard is the candlelight. I mean, there are so many instances where schools or homes are burned down from children trying to learn at night by candlelight. And so these really provide the opportunity to have that educational influence at any time. And so they're great. I mean, I think Trey did a great job selling them, but Christine and her team at Lifeline are just remarkable.
Yeah. So it looks like a really durable, you know, piece you could take anywhere. And it's fantastic.
They're fun. You know, I've been fortunate to have this one for the last few years because, you know, we take it to the event and we like to show it off so people can tangibly see it. But I mean, I find myself just sitting at home cranking it, and then like I'll play a radio station or, you know, they come preloaded with some content. So not necessarily singing along and dancing to the Tonga Market stuff.
Yes.
So you're going to be bringing this one to the upcoming event,
yep.
I would assume.
Yep.
Which brings me to this year. We've got, is it 4 events across the country?
Yeah, I think that's about right. Kalamazoo, Cleveland, Chicago. Ooh, that might be it this year. We usually get a Toronto one. So if you're out there listening, where are you?
What's Toronto Wine Bar? Yeah.
Yeah.
But now
looks
we also,
like Alabama, is that?
That might be a joke.
That might be a joke.
That's our global one. Like, through our website, we've created this ability. As Turk mentioned earlier, like, the biggest seller is our t-shirt. That's where we generate a lot of our donations, and we really get to be creative with the event and really put our own mark on it. So in the last few years, we've redesigned our website so you can order them before the event and get them shipped to you and wear them. So even if you can't find a party or an event in your area, you can still wear the t-shirt, support on the day. So we get a lot of those little pop-ups going around too, which is nice.
I saw Forrest's House as the event location for Alabama, and I was hoping somebody had like opened a bar down there that was themed, and I would know about this now and make a pilgrimage. But
Maybe some point now. But so for those listening, the website is thetomhanksday.com. So you have to put T-H-E in front of it. Somebody owns TomHanksDay.com.
And isn't doing very much with it.
Nope. So. Every once in a while, they'll write us an email that says, do you want to buy it? And we're like, no, we don't have the money to buy a domain off of you.
No.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. So. And April 2nd for all of these. And You can join up on the page there to go to the events. Yep. What could people expect from the one in Chicago, say, which is the one I'm definitely excited to go to?
Yeah, it's a pretty entertaining thing. So this year last year too, we rent out Lincoln Hall. So from noon to 5, 500 or so people will come through the doors. We do have a $10 donation at the door. T-shirts are $15.
Got some hats and
got some trucker foam mesh hats for sale, some stickers, some swag. New Belgium Brewing is our sponsor, so we've got a good $4 beer. So what we'll do, though, is you'll basically walk in and you will see a sea of Tom Hanks enthusiasts. For the longest time, we used to do, like, one room would be music and people would party and hang out, and the other room would be video or movies. Now, actually, the demand for movies is so much that we're playing two movies at once, and people are just intently, like, watching. We've got a company called Action Booth who comes out and does photos with us, and they'll, you know, you can print out, take home a photo.
Awesome.
So yeah, I mean, aside from getting to meet some like-minded Tom Hanks fans and seeing some of those movies, it's really about enjoying, drinking some beers, having a good time. Yeah.
And with that $10 donation at the door, you'll get a little trinket, we won't tell you, a little surprise that kind of comes with the donation, but then also everyone who comes to the door gets a raffle ticket, and we'll have at our merch booth the option to buy more, but I think the raffle has been our main seller over the years since the fourth year, because people get their chance to get Tom Hanks memorabilia, and it's not just memorabilia from Tom, but he signs, even if it doesn't seem like something you should sign, he finds a way to sign it and get it to you. So we will have, you know, a pretty good collection of things that we'll be raffling off. You can buy as many tickets as you want. Last year we had a woman who has been a really loyal fan. She came out and I think she bought $1,200 in raffle tickets.
Wow.
So thankfully she won.
I hope so.
Thankfully, because yeah. I think she had about 80% of the pool. But no, it's a really fun event.
She's doing great things for charity.
She is.
That's the win. Yeah.
She's a super fan with a little bit of extra income, and I think she's making it work.
Yeah. The big one, I think, every year that we almost always get is a Wilson volleyball.
Yeah.
People just love that Wilson volleyball. It comes with the handprint, and then he'll sign it. New Belgium Brewery actually gave us one of their beach cruisers to raffle off, so I'm excited to see how that goes. We sent a few special items off to Tom to sign, so it's kind of nice that now we'll like send him things, and they're, as you mentioned with his Twitter and using the Twitter and lost and found stuff, I don't know. I wasn't able to find a pair of gloves, but the goal was, because we're missing that Chicago winter, evidently, because Target's not even carrying gloves. Sorry, any other sponsors you might have?
No. We're mostly Walmart.
Yeah. But we did ask if he'd sign a pair of gloves and send
them.
That's
fantastic.
And if it does come, which hopefully I'll know in the next week or so, we'll hide it around the club and somebody can find it and maybe take a picture on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, always a lot of interesting items come through.
So, beyond just mailing, I saw a photo on the site. Looks like you got to meet the man himself.
Yep,
you did.
So, I, in high school, got to meet Andrew Bird, who at the time was one of my favorite musicians.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I think I said to him, "Thank you for everything you've ever done," which, he's not the most outgoing guy. He looked at his feet and said, okay.
Right,
and that
right.
was it. So I can't imagine. That was just one of my favorite musicians at the time. I can't imagine what it would be like to meet Tom Hanks. How did that go?
You want to? Go ahead.
I'll take a go.
Yep. Kick
went.
This one off. It was something.
So forever the joke had been, every year we try and really make a push for Tom to come to one of our events. And so he had made a joke early on, or through his assistant had made a joke, like, if you guys make it 10 years or something like that, maybe I'll come. And it was kind of a joke. So we celebrated our 10th just a few years back, and it just so happened that he was busy doing a Broadway show and couldn't make it, couldn't break away for a day. So we were like, you know,
throwing
that makes
some
sense.
Shade there on Tom Hanks, by the way.
No, it all comes to the build where he becomes
right,
an incredible
right.
man again.
Yep.
So we were kind of bummed, but we had a feeling that it might happen. But then Kevin received some word that, you know, he's doing this show and, you know, a couple of you guys should come out. If you can find a way, get to New York. I'd love to have you be in attendance and then
yeah.
pop back and meet us. So I kind of pilfered my way into the whole trip. He had sent two tickets, and there were three of us main cohorts.
Well, yeah, and even before that, it was funny. Like, I worked for a company, and I was traveling, and so I was like, you know, a job popped up that was, hey, we need somebody to go to New York. And I was like, I got this one. This is free flights and free hotel, and I'm probably going to meet Tom out of this whole thing. And so I had my one friend from Chicago come with me, actually him and his wife, and we all just kind of had fun. But we show up, and Kellen's like, yeah, I'm actually going to be in New York too, so let's all go.
I got that same kind of work deal set up.
And we didn't even know we had the tickets yet, because they were, like, my emails always seem to go to spam. Mm. So, quote unquote, spam. So I always have to follow back up, and I call, and I know they're busy, so I get it. But then, like, the morning of, I think I finally got a call. And she was like, hey, you haven't responded to my emails. And I was like, what? Wait, what? Huh? And so we all went to the show. And she's like, okay, the bouncer or the bodyguard will come see you guys at your seats beforehand, tell you where to meet afterwards. And Kellen kind of, like, just tagged along. And so he's sitting, I don't know, like,
four or five rows back.
And this big kind of burly looking dude walks over to us and goes, are you Kevin? And I go, yeah, I am. This is my buddy. He's like, okay, meet me by the door after the show. And, you know, like, real quickly, seriously, the lights are about to go down. And I go, wait, I have another friend with me. And he goes, what? And I go, well, another friend, can he come too? And the guy goes, yeah, I don't care, whatever. So the lights are starting to drop. It's starting to get dark. I turn around and just look at Kellen and give him a big thumbs up. And then we watch the first act in just joy. We're like, oh, this is going to happen. This is really going to happen.
And so we kind of rolled through, and it was a great show too. And there were some other big stars. I can never remember her name, but the mom from Liar Liar, the Jim Carrey movie, is in it. Not Laura, but she's in it. Christopher McDonald, most people know him as Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore. Yeah. He's in it. What's his name? Pete Scolari,
yeah.
From Bosom Buddies was in it, so that was like a whole circle swing of Tom Hanks's beginning to Tom Hanks present. But so we watched the show, and it was great, and then lights go up, and all of a sudden this gigantic man shows back up, and we kind of sneak back, and then we're just kind of in this weird holding space in between dressing rooms and the green room. And Christopher McDonald, like, whizzes by us. He's in a hurry to meet somebody. Then other people start filling in, and we notice everyone is making this big push, not for Tom Hanks, but Hank Aaron has been in attendance at the show.
Wow.
So now he's backstage, and all the stars of the show are trying to meet Hank Aaron, while we're, like, trying to meet Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And so
Shooter McGavin comes out of the green room after taking a selfie with Hank Aaron. I mean, we didn't recognize Hank Aaron. We were
it
just
took
like,
a minute, yeah.
Why is Shooter McGavin taking a selfie with this dude? And
he wasn't in the play.
Yeah. Shooter McGavin comes walking out, and we're standing in the hallway, and he goes, that's Hank Aaron. And then, like, oh, wow. And so that just made it even more intimidating to try and work our way into the green room. So we kind of hung out in the hallway.
But in the hallway, one of the coolest things we did see, because there was like a stagehand or producer, and she had this list, which was like the backstage list. And we're kind of looking over her shoulder, like, is it real? Like, we're really... And we look, and we see Hank Aaron. We're like, oh, somebody's above Hank Aaron. And it's Kevin Turk plus one. And so for the next 5 minutes, while we're still waiting for Tom to come down, we're all just like, yeah, we made the list, but we're above Hank. You know, it's...
Ain't no thing.
They know who's here. They know who the celebrities are.
Yeah, and so Tom finally comes down, and he runs into the green room and kind of pretty much walks right past us. And we're like, okay, you know, let him go in there. And he's shaking hands with Hank Aaron's family and what his son or
Hank Aaron's grandson and granddaughter were there.
And one of them was in the play. So
yeah, there was some
some connection with that. So one of them was in the play. And so Tom's in there doing his thing, you know, keeping people happy. And I finally tapped the lady who has the list on her shoulder, and I'm like, by the way, I'm Kevin Turk. And she goes, okay, cool. As soon as Tom's kind of done, I'll make sure he says hi. And so after a few minutes, she grabs him and goes, hey, this is Kevin Turk. And he comes running over, flicks me with his finger right in my chest, and just like kind of screams Kevin Turk. And I'm like,
it was awesome. It was pretty awesome.
So I'm just like, okay, hey, how you doing? And we, you know, just chatted about a bunch of nonsense. He asked us if we could keep this up forever, and I, you had a good response, I think it was.
Yeah, and it was that moment of like, oh my God, I have to have something, a response. I have to actually put words together. So I what something witty came out, and it was like a moment of, okay, a deep sigh. I did it. Okay, we're cool.
We did it.
It's like, hey, with a guy like you, it'll be easy or something. Or like, keep sending us stuff, and we'll be fine. And
we probably thought it was more witty than it really was. Yeah. But so then he finally, you know, he's chatting with us, and he goes, hey, do you guys want to meet Hank Aaron? And I think all of us were just like instantly yes. Like, this
how
is.
How could you say no to anything?
It made the reality of meeting Tom Hanks less, because, like, oh, he's not only meeting Tom Hanks, but he's introducing us to Hank Aaron.
So it was really entertaining to walk in there, shake Hank Aaron's hands. I know this is about Tom Hanks, but give me a minute to go through what Hank Aaron
is
like.
This is a worthwhile diversion. Yep. Yeah.
His hands are just massive, and he just like engulfs your hand, and he's like, you know, nice to meet you guys. Tom and him share a few more stories about baseball and some of the guys that he played with. And then Tom actually proceeds to tell Hank Aaron the story of Tom Hanks Day and why the three of us
have any reason to be back there.
Yeah. And, I think it fell on deaf ears with Hank Aaron. I don't think
he hasn't been to any of the events.
No, no.
He was kind of like
tweet about us at all.
He was like, I don't really get it, but okay, you know, good for you guys. So it was just so entertaining to see. And then we obviously, you know, as I'm standing there, I'm like, I'm not passing this opportunity up. I'm like, Tom, can we take a picture? And of course, Hank Aaron's right there. So Hank Aaron jumps in the photo. So there's a photo of five of us.
And but Tom's like, let me take a selfie. So Tom's taking the picture. But like, we've given our cell phones off to assistants or like green room hands.
Yep.
But Tom's just kind of in there just like taking these shots. So hopefully somewhere on his phone are still.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was, and then so the best part was like, we kind of were like, okay, the photo opportunity is done. And then Tom starts to walk away, and I go, hey, Tom, can we just get one with just you? Like, is that rude? But so he's like, oh, of course. So he snaps some more photos, and then we kind of just, like, head out into the streets. And the funniest thing is there's no alleys in New York.
Yeah.
So you walk out, and there's all these people waiting for Tom, essentially, to walk out. And they see us three scrubs walk out, and they're like, so it was pretty entertaining experience though.
So when's International Hank Aaron Day? That's got to be the
I mean, he deserves one, right? A phenomenal baseball player, breaking racial barriers, doing the whole nine, and we're celebrating Tom Hanks, who has a few good movies.
Any other ones?
Speaking of which, is there any Tom Hanks movie you haven't seen?
Yes, there's actually probably, I haven't seen Bridge of Spies yet.
Okay.
I know I haven't seen as many. I was talking with Kellen on the way over here, and I told you I've been listening to the podcasts, and I'm like, these guys are really, like, they really dig into it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not a fanatic. I'm just not. Like, Tom Hanks was a happenstance for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we, I mean, everybody loves his movies, but so I've spent, I've probably seen more now because of the whole thing, and everybody like emails me, hey, have you seen his new movie? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen it.
I think more than anything, that's been the thing I've learned, is that no matter who I have on the show, even if they're not a super fan, even if they're not even a film buff, like, there's one Tom Hanks movie that they can be like, oh yeah, absolutely, I love that one.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's been like, no.
Really can't find something.
Yeah.
I always look to Kellen. Kellen's more of our resident, like, factoid, and, like, digs up. He handles all our social media and stuff, and so he digs up a lot of the fun posts that we push out there. And I'm always like, where did you find this?
So yeah, we could have fun with it. And I think we were talking. I'm a film student. That was what my degree is in. So I'm super happy to apply those talents. We do a lot of. We really like to push our promo videos every year for our events. So we always have a lot of fun. With that, as we said, we have this New Belgium cruiser that we're going to go shoot a bunch of stuff downtown with right after we leave here today. But we try to have fun with it. And so because of it, I've had to become more savvy, because we get a lot of, we get a lot of messages with people who just think we're Tom Hanks. And it's usually international folks. And so I always try to like bridge that gap of, do I just completely mess with this person and make them believe I'm Tom Hanks? Do I let them down gently? And so there's always a really good balance, but we get maybe once or twice a week, we either get someone trying to push some movie script on us that Tom would just love, or trying to get us, because we're Tom Hanks, to come do their thing.
And my favorites are the movie scripts. Yeah. Like, I'll read parts of it, and I'm just like, nope, not going to work. But, you know, and like, some people get it. Some people reach out and say, like, hey, we know you're not Tom Hanks, but we have this script. Can you get it in front of him?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. No, not happening.
Right, yeah.
I wish you all the best.
Yeah. The big one lately is, like, it came out in the news maybe within the last year that Tom Hanks got ordained so he could officiate weddings, and so now we'll get messages probably once a month at least, like, could you put in a good word? Like, my husband and I are renewing our vows. It's been 10 years. My husband loves Tom Hanks. Do you think he could come officiate? And my response is always just, if that happens, I think my wife and I are renewing our vows with Tom before. You know, yeah. I think that is my clout that I've earned through Tom Hanks days. If we get him to officiate anyone's wedding, it's going to be one of us.
That's good to know. Okay. So, glad I know where your head is now.
Yeah, that's my one selfish.
So you met him on 10 years, at 20 years maybe, then that's...
Maybe yeah, that's yeah. We renew the Tom Hanks Day vows, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get Tom to officiate, so...
Do you each have a favorite Tom Hanks movie? We could wrap up with that.
Yeah. I mean, I will say hands down my favorite is Forrest Gump. I think that's a lot of people's favorite. If I wasn't allowed to pick that one, I would go with Joe versus the Volcano.
Underrated one, yeah.
Yeah, I actually just watched it for the first time again in a while, like a month or so back, and I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, how good is this movie? But in college, every night I would come home. Well, I shouldn't say every night, because some nights I wasn't drunk, but I would come home and pop Forrest Gump in and fall asleep to it. And then, my roommate who couldn't come today, but he would always begrudgingly walk into my room and like turn off the TV and throw something at me, because all he would be hearing is that feather loop, you know, like the DVD loop. And it's like, doo, 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 doo. And he's like, ah, Kevin, it's 4 a.m. and I'm trying to sleep. But yeah, it's mine.
And I look at it like twofold, because, well, you could look at it like four different ways. He's got his comedy and he's got his drama and he's got his new and his old. So like Kevin, I mean, Forrest Gump is one that I think resonates with a lot of us, but Forever Big was my movie. So many parts I just love in that. But surprisingly recently, and it is one I had not seen before, but Punchline, with he and Sally Field, and I believe John Goodman is also in that.
I haven't seen it in years.
That will be the one I push to listeners, because it is underrated. And what happened is, there was a movie, like not a Blockbuster, but like a video store in our town that was closing, and they had all these movie posters they were just like giving away for a buck. And I'm looking through and I found this poster for Punchline, and it's Tom Hanks and Sally Field, and I had no idea. So it's been hanging in my basement forever. So finally, like, this was just a couple weeks ago, my wife was like, have you ever even seen that movie? And it was like, you know, I honestly haven't. So we just caught it, and it's surprisingly, it holds up. It's one of his earlier ones, but it has some good, he's a up-and-coming comedian, stand-up comedian, and trying to, like, learn the ropes, and I don't know. So, I'm a big fan of Punch. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah. There you go.
Episode coming up.
All right, yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking about this the day. And if people want to go, thetomhanksday.com.
Yep, thetomhanksday.com.
Any social media, anything like that?
Yeah, facebook.com/TomHanksday. You can just type in Tom Hanks into the search. Same with Twitter. We're on Instagram as well. We're getting a little more apt there, really branching out into some of these new forms. Yeah,
But I encourage everybody, if you're going to come, show up early. Yeah. We open at noon, and people are there ready to come in at noon. Shirts sell out. Hats definitely sell out.
We have these really cool stickers for the first 50 through the door. So if you want to, we'll have some for sale too. But if you really want a freebie, we'll have some other stuff at the door. But the first 50 will also get one of our new stickers with our new logo.
Yep. And it's a good cause.
Absolutely.
It's a fun time. Lincoln Hall is an absolutely phenomenal venue if you've never been there, but they're also great partners of ours, helping us out with everything. So, it's always a good time. And there's a great chant that everybody will learn. So,
yes.
Good.
I'm not going to do it on the radio, but if you go to the website, I'm sure you can find some people doing it, but it's also one of those things that you just pick up along the way, people always walk out chanting away.
Right.
Fantastic.
And we look forward to seeing you there.
Oh yeah, wonderful. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Very cool.
Usually this is when I ask people to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Love if you do that, but even better, you should donate to Lifeline Energy.
Thank you.
That's well done. That's what we're doing here. Anybody listening out there who wants to support a really good cause, that would be the way to do it. LifelineEnergy.com.
Org.
Yep.
Org. Pardon me.
No, no worries.
And then also you can follow us on Twitter as well. HanksCast is the Twitter name. Facebook as well. Hanks for the Memories. And I'd also like to give a special Hanks to Eric Helwig, a.k.a. Hot Dad, for recording our amazing theme song, and to Cat Blackard for all of the excellent artwork that you see. Next week, the thrilling conclusion of Family Ties, so check back in with us then.
We'll be tuning in.
All right, thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
This has been a consequence of sound production. Have a nice day.